Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
You see, if you are not a grateful person, you feel it's you think it was your alarm clock that woke you, feeling entitled to be alive, feeling it was my right. After I'm coming from church, you won't know some things. I want you to give God glory one more time. Give him glory, like you mean it. He's a good, good Father. Who you are, and I'm loved by you.
Who I am.
He's a good, good Father.
Who you are,
and I'm loved by you.
Who I am.
You are perfect in all of your ways. Hallelujah. Every time you receive a prophecy, a major prophecy, the next person you will see is the devil. Come on, are you here now? Listen, one of the key words you must embrace for the new year is the word called devotion. Don't let your worship be modulated by any external circumstance. Listen, if you have ever been to a shrine where the worship should go, you will know that what you are doing is you are not praising God. The Almighty God surrounded himself with not just ordinary angels, cherubims. Satan was a cherub. Their primary assignment is to declare the righteousness and the glory of God. That's the work of a cherub. God surrounded himself with praisers. When the Ark of the Covenant was being built, the Lord raised two cherubims who were looking at them. They stand facing themselves over the mercy seat, declaring the holiness of God. Listen to me, if you allow Satan take away your praise, if you allow him, because there are certain things God cannot do in spite of, no matter how much you pray. Come on, say, I won't lose my voice. Come on, declare it, I won't lose my voice. In 2023, these lips will praise him. Come on, raise it. Listen, when I met that woman that prophesied over me, she didn't have money, but there was power on her lips. Listen, the power of a prophetic word, the power of a prophetic word, it will make you walk on water. Oh, my brother called me from the UK and he said, while we were having our online meeting, and you know, some of you think you need to see me. You really don't. You just need to connect to the online service. There was a particular lady that he sent the Mixlr link of the church to and told her to join. This lady has not been in any serious relationship for a very long time. And she was already getting frustrated. And the lady joined on Mixlr, and then she heard me said, began to prophesy certain details. I say, particularly like this, you live in this country, blah, blah. I started talking about, and I said, right now you are not in a relationship. This is September. The Lord said by December you'll be married. Now, if I thought about it, I would just generalize that prophecy. You understand? It doesn't make any sense. You are just raising somebody's blood pressure. There's nobody. She's not in any relationship now. And I was having a chat with my brother, you know, who gave her that link. And he just told me that, Pastor, there's Jesus. He said there was a lady. He said she just got married last week. I said, what? He said, the lady you gave, I didn't even know about the lady. He never spoke to me about her until a few days ago. He said, as of September, when she joined online, she was not in a relationship. She was not planning marriage. She was waiting for 2023 to start afresh. And when that meeting was over, they called each other. Said, thank God he didn't talk to me about her. See, this thing this man of God is saying looks like my case. I'm in this country. This is what I do. This, say yes. Say, let's believe God. She got married 1 week ago. And I said, you know, I just thought about it. Like, the natural me. I will not give your destiny 3 months. I don't even know the lady. I don't know what she looks like. She's married now. Listen to me. The way that woman spoke over my life, I'm going back to greet her now with a proper seed. Because even a prophet sometimes needs a prophet. Are you hearing me? In this new year, it's not your energy you will use to advance. You need the power of a prophetic word. Jesus said to Peter, come and join me on the water. So he walked on water, not because he could, but because Jesus said, come. I said, the Lord beckons to you this. I said, there's somebody the Lord is beckoning to you. And everywhere you have failed, you will walk on water. I said everywhere you have failed, you will walk on water. Listen. But when she looked at the result, she kept counting A's. Then you now say he failed one course. Then even without probing, they will ask you, how can somebody be getting straight A's? Then you now say he failed one course. Then your own job will be on the line. That's what I always tell you. It's the same thing, not just naturally, but spiritually. The Bible says, give a portion to seven and also to the eight. For you do not know the evil that will be upon the land. So when you are sowing your seed and scattering, you don't know. But the day that your file will be requested for, the day your file, they will say, okay, you must have an altar. Whether for God or for Satan. Devotion. I spoke to you last week, or was it 2 weeks ago, about a man that came from the UK, was staying next to my flat, and he, with all his wealth, went to an herbalist at Otta, knelt down with Samsung S something, and ate 9.something million. The Baba said, I don't need these things. He said, Baba, it's for you, 9 million. So that this work can be moving smoothly. Because he knows the Baba has a lot of customers. He wants to make a strong impression. Some people cannot come to church because it's not conference or chair. When we were going to church in those days, it was bench. Long bench. Say that church, they don't have AC. They don't have chair. You sit on the ground. When they sat on bench, waiting for Baba. When Baba came, all of them knelt down. Who told you to do that? You are supposed to prostrate. No. But when destiny begins to affect you negatively, as a man, you will not prostrate. You will kneel down because the thing is no more balanced. I said this year we are coming to, you will ride on prophetic wings. I prophesy one more time. I said this new year you will ride on prophetic wings. If there's anything the Lord has said to you, the Lord is capable to bring his word to pass. Listen, the Lord does not need your help to bring his word to pass concerning you. I said the same word that proceeded will open the doors for you.
Your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart.
Your love is so much sweeter
than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart. I want to know.
My dad was exactly 40 years. When he was attacked, coming from this airport, he was just coming from the US. Exactly 40 years. Exactly 40 years. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Exactly 40 years. When he was shot and maimed and he passed out. Come on, say, I break the curse. I start the blessing. I want you to declare prophetically, I break that curse. And I start the blessing. Listen, the devil knows the devil knows in your family who is carrying the seed of inheritance. I said that curse is broken. Every illegal operation going on in your life is terminated. See, this new year, forget pastor. I want to serve God. I want to love Him. I want to love Him with my heart. I don't have anywhere to go. If I go to a pastor and he prays for me, and God says the heavens are closed, there's nothing that can happen. Yes, I may not be perfect, but I want God to say, oh, this boy is not perfect, but his heart is with me. What sin did David commit? What did Saul commit? David was a bigger criminal. Saul tore the cloth of a prophet and lost his kingdom. David killed his right-hand man, married the wife. No conscience. David, you see, what? But today we are still naming our children David. How many of you can call your son Cain? Come on, are you see here? Listen. Sometimes when some of you that I've had to speak to personally, and some of you in that category here, you will know what I'm saying. There are some of you I will say to you, after service, every Sunday I must pray for you. Every Sunday I must pray for you. There's a reason. Because sometimes it's not even just the miracle. It's the consistency of pushing back the resistance. I can tell you, go and sleep. But your own faith is not ready to accept. So I have to be patient. We'll be going together. We'll be going. But later you look at yourself, 2 months later, Omo, I'm changing, no? It's the same Jesus. If you are putting your hope on anything outside Jesus Christ, you are making a big mistake. You are making a big mistake. If you have any power anywhere, if you have anything that you kept, that in case God fails, I want you to magnify God. Tell Him how grateful you are. 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 Hallelujah. 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 I want to turn to your neighbor and say, I'm growing in the anointing. This is not the same person, no. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, next year, we are going to have a lot to talk about. But I encourage you. One of the attacks of the enemy in 2023 is double-mindedness. Don't wait till January 1 to be asking for prophecy. I'm telling you what Satan will do next year. Double-mindedness. Double-mindedness. And you know what the scripture says? He said, if Elijah said, if the Lord is God, serve Him. If He is not God, leave Him. God is not saying you should not serve Satan. You are the one who is going to hell. You understand? It's not a matter of threatening anyone. If you want to serve, if you think Baal is God, serve him. But if it is God, that effort that you would have used to serve Baal, serve God with it. Double-mindedness. And I encourage you to also grow in the anointing. It may just be a meeting. That meeting you don't feel like going for. And your file will be opened. May you not be missing. this 2023, distance will not be a problem. If the devil wants to deal with you next year, he will make you behave like you are mad, so that the person that wants to help you will close his door. Stop. You are going to somebody for help. You are wearing perfume. You are doing dreadlocks. You don't have problem. You are wearing fine shoe, and you say you have problem. You don't have problem. Now let us pray. I'm so grateful for the gift of Jesus Christ, because someone like me, I don't know, with the kind of causes that I had to deal with. Before now, only a priest or priestess can approach God for you. But now you, the Bible says you're a king and you're a priest. A brother called me from, is it Liberia or the Gambia? He was struck with sickness. He's a missionary. Now, peradventure, your own area of gifting is not in the miraculous. Don't speak against it. Because what you speak against, you cannot attract. If your own area is teaching, singing, just stay there. You understand? Because even me, I can tell you that Jesus was not a singer. He didn't have choir. You understand? But we must celebrate the grace that is upon every person uniquely. Some people are graced the way they are. I desire the healing anointing because I've battled with my health since I was a very small child. So I appreciate the healing anointing. And I know the power of the prophetic tongue. Nothing may be happening in your life, but when a prophet tells you, go, the door will open. Yeah. Some time ago, my wife came, said she wanted to sow into my life. I said, even if you give me, the money is still coming back to you. She said, I said, you have my ATM. I don't have anything to hide. If you check data and say no balance, I'll be, what's that? Insufficient balance. It's whatever is there is what is there, you know. So, there's nothing to, it's when you have something, you are saying you are deleting a lot. God is my bank account. I don't have anything. So that's it. If you send the money, any day you need it, you go and withdraw. They say, I should pray for it. The Lord bless you. I said it casually. My wife of January this year is not my wife of today. I can't tell you. If I didn't marry her, I would be regretting by now. If I didn't marry her, I would be, but I won't say it too, but in my mind, I'll be regretting. Don't joke with a prophetic word. And don't turn your prophet to your friend. Even if your prophet is trying to play with you, be smart. It's my job to play with you. It's your job not to be comfortable. Are you here? I say it's your job. You may come to my house and see me watching Netflix or Asian movies. Don't be deceived. Collect what you are here for. Don't stop asking me that we are one in Christ. You are blessed. The God of the city of refuge will be your shield. You will not be exposed in 2023. I say you will not be exposed in 2023. That brother in Liberia, the Gambia, called me. His heart was failing. He had to stop, to fail. The doctors could not find what was wrong with him. And after several tests, they concluded that the heart was failing. So he reached out to me. I couldn't pick his call. So, you know, I credit Agnes for teaching me how to use voice note. There's this thing on that WhatsApp, they call it voice note. Just talk all your talk, send it. So I've been enjoying that feature. So the brother sent me the whole thing, typed everything. I now sent him. I remember what one man of God said. He said, if I send you a text message, it's as powerful as if I pray for you. That thing struck me. So I sent him a message. I said, in 3 days' time, you'll be free. I didn't even ask if you'll still be alive after 3 days, but I just sent it. And he responded, amen. On the third night, he woke up, pain gone. He tried to breathe in, no pain. Then he sent me a voice note. Say, sir, I can't believe it. This is God. The doctors have given up on me. I feel strong. My heart is strong. I just replied, glory be to God. I saw him now. He's back on the mission field. Winning souls. See, he could have been talking to some of his friends who they are doing ministry together. But his prophet is in Nigeria. Just the way I don't play with Pastor Ayo and my mentor, Professor Molonro at Covenant University, I don't play with them. Even when I see their error, I can't see it. I refuse to see it. Because of what they represent in my life. And I'm making this appeal specially. Because there are many of you, the devil will set the trap of familiarity for you. One of my brothers, and my elder brother, in ministry, he taught me the word of God. He taught me the word of God when I was just in 100 level. He was like graduating and all. Taught me the word of God. Was my pastor. And he's still my pastor. One day we were talking somewhere around Lagos in Ikeja. He now said, Gwenga, stop looking at it that because I'm your pastor, I take you as my prophet. I said, Egbon. Well, he said, Gwenga, I just want to explain some things to you. That whatever I was to you, forget it. I said, I cannot forget it. He said, now, this is my problem. He told me his problem. Do you know that? Because I'm close to him. And as I told you, don't be too familiar, even if you are close. That's why a child can be this close and be blessed. Alright? We both have the same Baba in Akure. But he could have been familiar, or he could even say, Shebe, I'm older than him. The moment you Satan pushes you there. My father-in-law, Pastor Ayo, was praying for people. They were having children. He himself did not have a child for 10 years. And he was doing child education, praying for people. If he had allowed his heart to be bitter, I'm telling you that the key to next year is your attitude. Because Joseph will come out of prison. But if his attitude is bad, he will stay there. Come on, are you here now? Aha. When I am with my pastor, I don't sit close to him. I move back. I'll sit on the next chair. Even if he says come, I'll say no. I'll sit here. My pastor will be prophesying to me, be eating chicken, taking wine. That one is not my business. It's what I came here for. Benga, Oshok, you don't want it. I say no. I've never eaten in front of my pastor before. Like he's eating. No, I beg. I don't want. No, go and cook rice. I don't want. Okay, I'm fasting. I'm not fasting, but just leave me. I'm not here for. It's when you start, hey, let me have that bottle of wine. You forget where you are, you start drinking wine. I've seen God change lives. And as much as I try to say, oh, it doesn't matter. I've seen this thing play out back to back. Every one of us, including myself, we must work on our attitude next year. Take it much higher. Don't go to your father in the Lord and be sharing revelation. You understand? We all know Bible. There's a particular guy in the Bible, Nathaniel. Do you know him? Please, give me that scripture that has Nathaniel. Nathaniel was the kind of guy you call a regular. When you see someone, it's a true Nigerian. Like, you get to the UK, you're in a bus. You can say, you start speaking your language in the bus. You are screaming. No, we are very loud. They know this guy is from Nigeria. He's very bold. He's confident. So, Nathaniel is a true Jewish person. He's a true Israeli. When they told him, we have found the Messiah, he said it's a lie. So when Jesus came, Jesus went to meet him, but he didn't come to Jesus because those kind of people don't go to you. Number one, they don't even believe you. Jesus came to him, Nathaniel, say, are you greater than our father? Who is it? People just want to feel special. Jesus gave him one word of knowledge. The guy stood up, he arranged himself. He now said, Master, where are you staying? He said, is it because I told you? I just gave you one prophecy now. Jesus said, you will see greater things. And that's what I'm telling you. Some of you have fasted, you have prayed. What you are waiting for is in 2023. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, when they are threatened, they run into it. And they are saved. This new year, you will not be exposed. Now, there's only one thing I'm going to share with you about the birth of Christ today. Last Sunday, I shared with us on things we need to be grateful for. Now, give me that scripture we read in Isaiah 9, verse 6, I believe. Now, I want to introduce you to a particular word that is significant here. It says, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Now, when the child was born, did they identify his gender? No, what I'm saying is, when a child is born, and you look at the child, can you tell if it's a boy or a girl? But look at that scripture. Children are born, but sons, they are given. It's a difference. The government will not be upon the child, it will be upon the son. The son, in Jewish context, speak of somebody that is like his father. For you to be the son, you would have passed through a particular rite. At the age of 12, bar mitzvah, something like that. It's a Jewish rite that you will pass through. Then they will not tell you have become a man. So that statement, if you read it with your Yoruba mindset, you may not get it. That a child is born, speaking about a baby, but a son is given, meaning that after he has passed through the rite, then I said, today, have I begotten you? You now have the right to use your father's name. That means if you go for a meeting and you are 12 years old or 13 and you sit there, nobody should ask for your father again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, when my dad built a house in Benin City, and when we had issues with that land, my mom was traveling back and forth to recover that property. One day, so a man called my mom and said, this traveling here is too much. Do you have a son? Please, if you are from Edo, because some people think I'm making up this thing. Sir, do you understand this thing I'm saying now? I'm not lying, Abby. Uh-huh. In Edo State, if a child of 2 years 2 years old, if it's a boy, has more say than a girl that is 18 years. That's voter's card. Even they said he's even more powerful than his mother. So when my mom was going up and down, and the man who took over my father's property was living there free, was putting charms everywhere, people just felt like, this woman, you are just stressing yourself. I am the last son of my mother. I have an elder brother. But they said, even if the boy is just 2 years, if he enters that meeting and they can see his face, that, now Papa Pekin, finish. So my mom took me. Where are we going? Say, Bini. What are we doing? Say, don't worry. When we got there, I mean, I was already a Christian. So I fortified myself. When we got there, I saw the man on my father's property and I stepped on the land. They say there's charm, baby. The first scripture I was taught when I became a Christian, Mark chapter 16, he said, these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they shall what? The first ability God gave a believer is to cast out devils, not even speaking in tongues. That means God expects you to be casting out devils before you speak in tongues. That's how powerful and potent you are. But Satan will not let you know that one. He will keep telling you that even in your father's house, they are stronger. Go home and for the next 3 weeks, refuse to pray about them. The moment you stop giving them attention, they will fade. I got to that land and I stepped on it. Then an elderly man stood. He said, Isaac face be this. My dad's name is Isaac. He said, Isaac name be this. Face be this. Now I'm picking. You know, this issue of the court of heaven, I see it playing out even among natural men. Yes, I never said a word in that meeting. I only stood. And those who knew my dad, way back, who are still alive, they just knew, they said, Isaac picking be this. Then the elderly man stood up and faced that guy, that man that was in possession of the property, and said, today you have seen his son. You must not be in that building by tonight. And that was it. No more contention. Because children are born, but sons are given. They are presented. Give me that scripture. It says, and the government shall be where? Upon his shoulder. Who is the head of the church? Who is the head of the church? Christ. Where is the region of the head? This point, upwards. Or if you like, you may want to add the neck. So the church starts from the shoulder. Are you here? Jesus is the head. We are the body. So the government shall rest upon the church. The administrative system on earth that dispenses God's power is the church of Jesus Christ. That is why Satan will continue to deceive you with entertainment. Because he knows you can't be entertaining and be powerful at the same time. Because when you are always giving to entertainment, the only thing that is left is to sleep. And when you sleep, you cannot pray. Then you start having some experience. You just notice like for like 6 months, you've not been praying well. And then Satan is taking advantage of, he will give you sleep or he won't attack you. But you'll be weak. The day you mention that name, it will be weak in your mouth. You say Jesus, it will be weak. Because you are straight far. God put his government upon his shoulders. The birth of Jesus Christ has nothing to do with December 25.
It has nothing to do with going home today and eating fried rice. It has nothing to do with you going to watch a film at Ikeja Mall. It has nothing to do with taking your wife out, even though that is good. It has nothing to do with sewing and co. Or wearing uniform. Nobody sent you that one. All those things we associate with Christmas, like this Christmas tree, disco light. God is not aware. The birth of Jesus is about a government. It's about a government. And if you don't get this foundationally, you will keep singing carol songs. Hello, are you still here? You will keep dancing carol, singing carol. Whatever it is you like to do, it will become a monument instead of a movement. Because Christ was not in any of these things. It's your money you are spending. God doesn't care. Because if we as a church know that this is about a government that is to be established, then our posture and body language will be different. Because we know that if that government is not established here, it is because the shoulder, the church, is not strong enough to bear the weight of that government that is coming. The problem is not the head, it's the shoulder. Are you here? So you need to ask yourself, how whatever it is you are doing, either contributes to the strength or the weakness of the shoulder, which is the church. He said, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Isn't that amazing? That's a nice name. God has nice names. There's one song we sing in those days. I can't really remember, but in those days, it used to be a very good song. Wonderful Counselor, Marvelous, are the works of the Lord. Oh my God. You can't lust with this kind of song. Girl. And the works of my God, great is thy name. Church used to be sweet. I better go down. His name is Wonderful. What does that mean? That Jesus is full of wonders. Jesus will look at a young child that was being taken to the cemetery, and he will stop them and say, weep not. He has not performed the miracle, but he said, weep not. The one who says weep not has the power to now say arise. When he said weep not, some people said he's mad. You know, we are not too sure. Sometimes he talks well, he doesn't talk well. Jesus sometimes like having psychological problems, you know. Weep not. I'm here. Weep not. Don't cry. Do you know, if I read that in the Bible, that's very profound for me. Because I'm going through a whole lot. And just he's saying, don't cry. That means, if he said don't cry, that means he's here. He's here with me. Don't carry this burden. It's not yours. I'm here. Weep not. The one who says weep not is strong enough. He has a solution. Stop thinking, oh, when I leave this place, I will call this person, I will go and beg him. Listen to me. Nobody will share God's glory with him. Weep not. He's full of wonders. He didn't come out immediately to say, this is what I will do. But he said, weep not. So he will now wait for you to see whether you will wipe away your tears. Wiping away your tears is the proof to him that you heard him. Yeah. He said, I should not weep. He said, I should not weep. Don't cry. Don't cry. Don't cry. Don't cry. Don't cry. After you've obeyed that first instruction. Now, as a pastor, I tell people who are mourning to cry. If not, you will not be balanced emotionally.
You need to weep. Anybody that tells you that because you're a child of God, you should not weep when your mother dies, it's a witch. You must cry so that you can become balanced eventually. There's a burial I went for recently. The girl wanted to jump inside the grave. We are now holding her. Don't jump. Somewhere in my mind, like, let's allow her. Like, I even want to see what will happen. Say she cannot live without this man. So, just solidarity there. Don't worry. Don't jump. In my mind, like, if you know what I'm thinking. The girl cried all the way. I had to tell her to come down from the car. Go and join the other car. Because she was supposed to join my vehicle when we were going to the cemetery. But the way she was throwing her tantrum, my seat belt can't hold this one. So we will still have to cry a lot when we get to the cemetery. I was asked to pray over the grave. My job is already difficult. Let me get there before I start. I know you are emotional, but we all are. But you are not even helping me. I'm the one driving. So go to the other car. By the time she was trying to jump. At the end of the day, when we cover the grave, I saw under the tree laughing, eating. Don't go and some of you think that it's only nothing. Your wife cannot marry. You better stay alive before your best friend marries your wife. Better stay alive. Doing anyhow. The girl I saw, I was like, ah. Wow. After all, we are buried in. Let's move on. You want to die? You want to be James Bond? Or Amitabh Bachchan? You want to take bullet for a person? And once they cover you, she'll be under the tree laughing, chewing cabin biscuit. Jesus said, weep not. But you have to be alive to hear that one. Jesus stopped that casket. Tapped it. Spoke to it. Life answered. The Bible said the day will come when every dead will hear his voice. They will rise. Even if they cremated you. If you are in Jesus, when that trumpet sounds, your ashes will gather. And you will meet him in the air. When you meet him in the air, I'm not going back, he's going to touch on this earth. The beginning of a millennial reign. You don't want to miss that one. Don't let quarrel and carnality take that one from you. Jesus exercised his ability, his government, his dominion over death. Do you notice there was no child that came across Jesus' ministry that died that he did not raise? No child. The daughter of Jairus, that woman on the widow of Nain, just look at it. There was something about children that Jesus did not really like when it comes to death. Because it's a destiny cut short. If you want to tap into the power of life, you must be a high praiser. You must know how to praise God. That's a secret I'll give you today. Learn how to praise God. Like fast. Go on 3 days fast and be praising God. Don't pray. Go and learn it. It's not only when you have a problem you fast. The Bible says his name is wonderful. He's full of wonders. He's full of wonders. How do you explain the miracle of that brother I prayed for in Abuja? That the baby died in the womb. They were about to move her into the theater to evacuate the baby. And then they called me and I said, leave the hospital now. Your baby is alive. I didn't pray. I just told him. I said, your baby is alive. And then they did the naming ceremony last month. How do you explain that? Jesus is full of wonders. Jesus, if what he's doing will not make a statement, he won't do it. The Bible says his name is Wonderful.
Hi.
Say his name is shall be called Counselor. Because sometimes what you need is not a miracle. What you need is someone to sit down with you and say, have you considered this? Have you considered this? Have you considered this? Do you know that in counseling, you know, professional counseling, a counselor is not meant to tell you what to do. They will show you your options. You will make your choice. As I'm speaking now, some people are receiving instructions. Some people think I'm suggesting. I was with my mentor, and then he told me, oh, see what I'm trying to do. And he showed me the project. And I said, sir, why are you doing this? This is wrong. This is hard. I said, no, this one is not okay. This one, let's change it like, this. And I said, thank God I spoke to you. See, because I needed somebody, everybody would tell me, it's fine. Nobody to tell me, sir, why not like this? Why not like this? And he changed the whole thing. It takes humility. Do you understand? It takes humility for a big man of God to receive counsel from a smaller man of God, in quote. Folakemi called me yesterday. Say, Pastor, I want to pray for you. I said, go ahead. And I said, amen. I could have asked her, Shalimaka. I would tell her what she had. You ate beans this afternoon. Say yes. Did you eat beans? Now I said, me that I'm prophesying to you, want to pray for me. Holy Ghost fire there. The phone will just fall down. The phone don't spoil. Maybe, I don't know what she was thinking, but I actually dealt with a lot of trauma in the last 1 week. That's why some of you were calling, I could not pick. Because I was traumatized. So, there are certain things that if you are not wise, you won't be able to receive from other people. Jesus is not just full of wonders. He's the great counselor. Sometimes in order for him to explain what he's trying to tell you, he will not tell you immediately. He will take you on an experience for 2 years. 2 years, you'll be going through a particular challenge. You'll be going through a particular challenge. You will pray that it will not go. You will fast. He just wants you to get to the point where you stand and say, our God reign it. That's what he wants to tell you. But he will allow you to pass through that challenge. And when you get to that bus stop, you'll be like, wow, this is what God was trying to teach me. While I was hospitalized, and I was diagnosed with hepatitis. A or B, I don't know. But I was diagnosed with hepatitis. And I made peace on my bed that it was time to die. I was in my final year. You know, on campus, we used to hear news of some people in final year that would just die suddenly. You know, people just, maybe on that under level, just die like, this one is just starting his life. You know, like, it used to give us, you know, the creeps like that. But I was in my final year, and the doctor said, hepatitis has no cure. I don't know if it has a cure now anyway, but the doctor said it doesn't have a cure. I said then. And I made peace. If this is where it ends, I want to see Jesus when I die. And even these last few days, I thought about it. I said, if I see Jesus, all I want is for him to just say, well done. Well done. You did your best. You are not perfect, but you did your best. You gave your heart. That's all I want. I don't want a crown. I don't want anything. I just want you to say, well done. That will mean the world to me. So I made my peace and I prayed. If this is how I'm going to go. I didn't tell my mother what I was experiencing. But that night she slept and she saw an angel stood over my head. And she said the angel was so tall she couldn't see his head. But she saw that this is the frame of an angel. And she thought they have come to take him away. So when I woke up in the morning, she said she was scared. She couldn't scream. She thought I died because I wasn't moving. And then the Lord said to me, I told you, your covenant with death has been abolished. I told you. Then I remember that few weeks ago, I was in church when he said to me, so God saw the future and walked me through it. But if he had just told me your covenant with death has been abolished, I would not have appreciated it. So he brought me close to the brinks of death and then allowed me hear the doctor say there was no cure. I was already skin and bones. If you no get body, you can't seek again. You no go hard. You no go tear. You go to see your flesh. Your bone. This guy has lost weight. Then I said, Lord, I believe your word. I shall not die, but I will live. I believe your word. I believe your word. The doctor says there's no cure, but I believe your word. I believe your word. I believe your word. The doctor came in that morning and said, take him for a fresh set of tests. And for the first time, they tested me. They said, we can't find it anymore. They couldn't find hepatitis, but I still had all the physical symptoms. My hands were shaking, like Parkinson's. I couldn't stay in one spot. I went back to school that way. The only way I would write is if I hold one hand. You see, sometimes when you are praying, you need to ask yourself, is God trying to teach me something? I learned it in a very, very bad way. I couldn't read for the exams. The exams was next week. So my friends would just come. Where they teach you? They will speak to me. Is that what I say? Yes. This one called, they will speak to me. And I walked in and I came out the best result in all my 4 years. 4 A's, 2 B's. The day where I were, where they go class, they say, now C, how they get. I get D. The day where I sick, they say, now, I say, I don't know. If they say, now my matric number, it is, I bring them. I know if, I didn't even want to say, are you sure? You say, now, you may go, just bring that result. I take it in Jesus' name. But I know, sir, I know read. You have to pay attention to the dealings of God upon your life. If you are praying, have you ever bothered to ask, is the Lord trying to tell me something? Is the wonderful, is wonderful and he is counselor. Look at what God described his son as. The mighty God. Not just God. The almighty God. This guy was prophesying here. And the Spirit of God said, this child, this is DNA they are showing us. The DNA that is the mighty God. That's why in those days when we go to MFM, this was one of our favorite songs. You are the mighty God. If a devil wants to start singing that song, move straight. Because after night is fire, just move. And that one, you don't need keyboard. You are the mighty God. You see, you can hear the name, the tone of the G.O. now. The great I am. You will know that after now, if you are still here, it's your fault. The mighty God. Jesus was fully man, but he was fully God. Mighty. The mighty there qualifies the God. So every other God that was strong lost their status when he came. That is the person who is your father. Your own father. This is your DNA. Might. Your head will not lack fresh oil. Say, for the yoke shall be broken because of the anointing. I prophesy, your head will not lack fresh oil. This new year, I don't want a gospel that has no power. He said he is the everlasting. Can you see? I don't understand how God would be referring to his son as the everlasting father. This is the reason why Jesus could come and say, "Ah, my father, we are one." Because of this verse. This is Old Testament, Isaiah 9. The Spirit of God prophesying through Isaiah, Ekalima, Azariah, the everlasting father. I said, wait. So who is the person on the throne? If this one is everlasting father, no, that one is ever lasting. Everlasting. Wow. That's your Jesus. But you may look at him and see a shepherd or a carpenter. But this is your father. This is the one who died though. This is your God. This one. Everlasting Father. Give me that scripture. Do you know that when you get to heaven, before you are introduced to the image of to see God physically, you must see Jesus. Because Jesus is the image. He said to Philip, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." He's from here. He got it from Isaiah 9. Stop praying and imagining angels with wings. See the Father. If you pray from today to tomorrow, Jesus you will see. Bible says, "In him dwells the fullness." The fullness. You don't understand. The full weight of the Father. Inside him. The full weight of the Holy Ghost. Do you know that the Holy Ghost, that word is like wind. Pneuma. Wind. When the Lord said he sent forth his word, the Spirit goes in the direction of the word. So, literally, physically speaking, the doctor may be telling you that your time is up. But when the word of God goes in this direction, Spirit follows. Yes, the word and Spirit. The Spirit goes. The doctor says, you can't have a child. Oh, this is... Poof, the word will go. The Bible now says the fullness of that pneuma, that Spirit. When Jesus was being baptized, do you realize that it was not Jesus that took himself to the wilderness? Yes, and the Spirit drove him. Wow. I was with Reverend K one day. You know Reverend K? We sat in his parlor. So he asked someone to come and be massaging his legs. While the person was doing it, he said, "Do it well. Don't you know the seven spirits are living inside of me?" And I said, you know, that made a very strong impression on me. That my legs are heavy. I can't just be, because the spirits inside me, they are heavy. I said, wow. See the revelation some people have. That they are carriers of the seven spirits. This scripture lets me know that if I touch a person, it's Jesus that is touching them. Yes. This scripture. Because Jesus said in John 17, "I in them and they in me, we are one." So when I say, "Father, in the name of Jesus," Benga moves back. Jesus comes forward. That's how I know there is no prayer I pray that God will not hear. It's revelation. You need revelation, no? If not, you'll be looking at your age mate. You'll be looking for your age mate. You don't have age mate. You have grace mate. Says the everlasting Father. The everlasting Father, they also connotes that there's a particular priesthood. Not Levitical. Melchizedek. The priesthood that never dies. It has no father, it has no mother. Jesus was the one that established that priesthood. Then he died, rose again, stood behind that priesthood and continued administering it. That is why even in the heavens today, the ministry of Jesus is priesthood. He didn't give it to anybody. He didn't give Michael. That is why you can still be forgiven, even though you're a serial liar. Because somewhere God is looking at you and saying, he can still change. Meanwhile, everybody around is saying, don't mind him. He's a liar. He's a cheat. Say, Jacob, what if we change his name to Israel? Change the DNA. Oh, Baba, leave this boy. I'm seeing something. It's the priesthood. So while you are praying here, he's administering his blood. He didn't give that responsibility to another person. He was the one who shed the blood. Then he rose, stood behind the blood. The blood is the element by which anything that comes into the holiest of all must be cleansed. So he shed his own blood, rose up without blood again, then took his own blood. And while you are here praying for mercy, he begins to administer that blood. And then you are able to come before his presence without guilt or shame. That order of priesthood that doesn't answer to anyone is extraordinary. It's the everlasting Father. And he's also the Prince. He's the Prince of Peace. Say, my peace I give to you. But not like the world gives. Oh. Why will a Christian be on his deathbed dying and be shouting hallelujah? Glory to God. Have you heard of Christians who passed many years ago? You read their biography. How that shortly before they passed, the heavens opened and they saw it. And they rejoiced. Wow. Peace in the midst of a storm. When all you have is that you know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And that there is nothing God has started in your life that he will abandon. He will come back. God has investments in you. Listen. You have not gotten to the point where God will abandon you. I'm telling you. I say you have not gotten to that point. God has invested. He must see profit. Don't believe that lie of the devil. God is still with you. He's the Prince of Peace. That is why when he begins to answer your prayer, you may not see any physical manifestation, but you suddenly have peace of mind. You just know that you have talked to God about it and everything is all right. But physically, there is nothing that you can see to say. So when they ask you, how do you know that God has answered you? He gave me peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Yoruba language, they say, Omoba Lade Alafia. That's one of the names they gave when I was born. He's the Prince of Peace. Every storm becomes calm around him. That's Jesus. This is who Santa Claus wants to take away from you. Santa Claus is a demon. Yes. Santa Claus was not born for you. He didn't die for you. He doesn't intercede for you. But somehow, he found the center stage. Somehow. This is a spirit. It's a demon. Take the shine off your creator. Take the shine over the king that was born. Strange spirit. Next verse. Of the increase of his government. Listen to me. Every time we plant a church somewhere, we are telling people the kingdom of God is here. Baba Adeboye was at Edo State over the week planting churches. Meanwhile, some of us young pastors are sharing big grammar. Baba knows he will soon see his maker. He's looking for 1 million souls to win to Christ, so he won't come empty-handed. Those are the kind of people you should follow. He's not tired. He's not a big man of God. He's on the street. He went to, I think, Benin. Went to Ekpoma, Auchi. Was at Auchi. I saw him. I was watching him at Auchi. Auchi. Very simple message. Lead people to Christ. Start teaching them the word of God. How old is Baba now? 80? 80 something. My father-in-law is 80 plus. There's no day I go to his house. He will say, let's pray. Carry shekere. So go and check. Maybe it's that indomie you are eating that is affecting. Because these are fathers, they ate strong things. You understand? When they were growing up. Yam. Eba. So now they are strong. You are 30. You are still saying, I like indomie. I like indomie. So of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. God's kingdom must first increase in you. Because before it increases through you. You may be a doctor. You may be an accountant. You may be a teacher. But you must first be an extension of the kingdom of God. That when people see you, this is the headquarter of God's kingdom. People should not see you and still be asking God, where is your face? Like God, where's your face? He's here. I'm here. Abishai Dawsa said we should, that they were praying in the meeting. Say, God, let the Spirit of God come down. Say, don't pray again. Dawsa is here. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, may I have the Holy Spirit? So the Holy Spirit is here. Well, okay, say it should come down. From where? Since Act of Apostle, when the scriptures said the heavens opened and the Holy Ghost came down, he has not gone back. Maybe he doesn't come to your house, but he has not gone back. Say, Dawsa is here. Ayo Babalola was preaching that popular major revival and that crusade. When he prayed and prayed and could not pray for everybody, he looked over the river in that community, prayed over the river. People started fetching the water and they were getting healed. Explain. I know you know everything. Explain. He prayed over a river. They took one man. Say, let's go to Babalola's crusade. Say, what's there from the hospital? Say, this man cannot move. He will die. Say, he's already dead. Let's take him. The man said, doctor said, I cannot move. He said, do you want to die here? People are getting their deliverance at the crusade. They dragged the man to the river. Say, this water, you better drink it like that. They drank from that river. During rainy season, the river became dry. That was the beginning of revival in the Southwest. The Archbishop of Anglican Church said that Babalola did in 6 weeks what the Anglican Church could not do in 60 years. That the Archbishop of Anglican Church wrote it the day they were burying him. It was part of, that was his comment. His power. His daughter, go and get me water. She was too slow. He said, why are you being like a mad person? The girl I'm mad. He was just talking. He didn't mean it. That's how anointed a man's tongue became. Forget that in the barrack where we grew up. If you say your pa, na greeting. Your pa is greeting. It's not abuse. Shege dan brova is greeting. Is not abuse. But if your father now happens to be Babalola and he saw your own father and say, were. Were means mad, madman. Then you realize that your father by evening is baby. The increase. The work God used our Babalola to do in this Southwest. Eh? Most of us preaching Greek and Hebrew, we've not done it. So what is the secret of that man? He was a man of prayers. He was a man of fastings. He was a man of vigils. He was a man of consistent fellowship with other ministers in the word. The word of God. Ababla was preaching in a crusade for Anglican CAC ministers and a man came. He had a hunchback. He said, please, I don't know. I heard that the apostle is here. He didn't know who the apostle was. Ababa just stood up and said in Yoruba, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are released from this affliction. And he went to sit down. By the time he was getting back, the pastor's conference scattered. The thing just vanished. Even the pastor's What kind of strange power is this? That God will take a technician and say, I want to use you to do something that the world has not seen before. And up to today, a man that was not lettered, he didn't go to any school. His name up to today could not be erased. What will happen if God takes hold of your life? What do you think God can do with it? See, of the increase of his government. One thing is sure. Every time God moves forward, it's because the government must move. The government must increase. It's not about you. You are just a vessel. So if you have personal issues, deal with it. Because when God takes over you, he doesn't want all those minor things. He takes over you. You cannot say because you don't have shoe, you won't come to church. Maybe God has not taken over you. Check. Wear slippers. Wear bedroom slippers. Wear one leg. You've not gone to fellowship and your slippers cut. You've not been checking. The increase of his government. Everything God is doing about now is about the increase of his government. If you focus on that, God will focus on you. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forever, for the zeal of the Lord will what? We perform this. It is God's agenda. This is what Christmas is all about. You are permitted to, since you have bought your Christmas light and everything, you can still go home and enjoy it, since it's your money. It's your money you spent. But if that Christmas light gets damaged, don't waste your money again. Go and print something on Microsoft Word of the increase of his government. There shall be no end. That's Christmas. They told you that when Jesus was born, he was in the manger. He was helpless. When the three magicians, they are not even three, self. I don't know who told you they are three. Because it's not in the Bible. They are not three. It's Santa Claus that brought them on. But history tells us that it took them about 2 years to get to where Jesus was. So by the time he got there, that baby was no more a baby. He was trekking. They bowed before him. And Jesus took their worship. He had to be God to take that worship. Only God can take worship. At that age, he knew there was something about him that was not the same. So when those people came and bowed, he took it. They worshipped to their substance, he took it. Eventually, when he was going to be buried, those were the same elements that were used to administer his burial. Jesus knew he was God. And he lived like he knew he was God. He didn't doubt his purpose. He knew he was the Father, the everlasting Father. He knew he was God incarnate. He knew it. He knew his words were not ordinary. He knew it. And that's why many times you say the kingdom of God is likened. The kingdom of God is likened. The kingdom of God is likened. Because it is of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So how do you serve your king in a kingdom? That is the question. It is not a democracy. It's a kingdom. Therefore, as we go ahead and rejoice and do all we got to do, begin to plan how devoted you will be to your king. Because now that king is no more in the manger. He is now the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When John was with him on earth, John used to put his head on his chest because he was the youngest, and Jesus would pet him. But after he showed up in the book of Revelations to John, the Bible says John fell as dead. John now realized the Jesus of that day and the Jesus of this day, they are different. The Bible says this time he has fire in his eyes. When you look inside his eye, you won't see eyeball. You see balls of fire. Ah, that's mystical. This one is not Black Adam. You need to hear this one. It's not Black Adam. That balls of fire. Can you imagine? If Jesus appears to you now, and you see fire in his eyes, and you say, my daughter. I beg, that's just in the calendar. That's the one I want to see. This one is up to you. So. He said, when he spoke, his voice was like many waters. You know what many waters? I am the devil. You cannot wake up. He's here. You think you are dreaming. That is Jesus. That's the person the world doesn't want us to talk about. And he walked John through 22 chapters of Revelation. Stood with him. And at the end of Revelation, he said that I will give to every man according to his work, not according to grace. Your work matters. Your devotion matters. Yes, you are saved by grace, but you'll be rewarded by works. See all those efforts? Ministering to the needs of people, helping less privileged people, it will count. I say it will count. The day you only have 200 naira, you gave somebody 100 naira, it will count. He said, when I come, I am coming to look at your works. Say, let him that is righteous continue to be. Say, because I'm coming. Tell your neighbor, walk. Oh. Don't say it's by grace. Paul said, even though I was chosen by grace, he said, but among the apostles, I labored. I worked more than the rest of them. And the grace of God was not in vain. Tell your neighbor, walk. This year, we are coming into, will we prove we understand this message by winning souls? Yes. Yes. Not that anybody is calling you. Every week, I must preach to at least two people. You will make that law yourself. Nobody will force you. Sometimes people come to the office here to see me. They just... What I'm hearing mostly is complain. But really, if we say we should even check what you are doing in this kingdom, in this company, do you even deserve promotion or demotion? I say, what you are doing for God, if it's okay, let's use that one to bless you. Are you sure you won't be demoted? Thank God that it is by grace. But when he comes, it will be by works. Jesus is Lord. And I want to employ many of us who are here and are not born again. I think that's the best decision you can make. It's not a religious decision. It matters because your destiny after then will depend on that decision. Somebody called me and spoke to me. Oh, I have this investment here. Oh, I have that investment here. I'm wealthy. I'm this, I'm that. The person was talking to me. After the big man finished talking, I said to him, you must be born again. He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Maybe he thought he was trying to impress me. I died long time ago. If God gives me, thank you, sir. If he doesn't give me, I'm grateful. Anything the Lord will not give me, I don't want. He wants me to know how important it is, so I will know how to pray. That's what he was trying to do. Then I said to him, ye
must be born again. You say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You have not called me since then. So if God bless me to somebody comes here and bring 2022 Jeep or 20, don't shout. You know, I've rejected plenty already. Like that man now, he has plenty money, but I told him he should be born again. So I know I lost something. But what they do is that when they pray for you, they'll give you big money. When they were taking me to Ogun State Government House to go and cast out the devil there, God said, don't go, and I stayed in my house. I lost money. My transport fare from Bagada to Abeokuta was 500,000. That was my transport. They told me. They said, and if you see vision, 1.5, 2 million. They told me. Now, I was in the bank then. So you can imagine, I should have been rich long time ago. But these seven spirits will not allow me to rest. So I'm just telling you. Because you may see me in the government association. The pastor said, it was that one. That time. You may see me in the government house tomorrow. And I may come back with a private jet. Maybe the one they are not using again. I'll sell it and do crusade. Be devoted. God looks at those things. Don't be too transactional with God. There's a sense in which you have to be transactional. But don't be too transactional with God. Be devoted. That is what Christmas is all about. Hallelujah. Lift up your eyes and say, thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the gift of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to declare, Jesus is alive and is not dead.
I'm devoted to your. devoted to your praise. I'm devoted to your praise
and forever to your name.
When the Father sent His Son into this world to die, He was making a very difficult decision. Because Jesus was not the first Adam. Jesus, there was another Adam that was sent to exercise the dominion mandate. But he fell into sin and was deceived. But this last Adam was not just created in the image of God. He is God. The whole universe was created by Him. So if on that mountain where He was tempted, and the devil said to Him, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. If He had done that, Satan would have said to God, this is your best man. There's no other person, so please, vacate your throne. There was no other person that could be sent if Jesus failed. It was a great gamble. Jesus got here and at some point didn't want to die again. Baba said, no, wait. You have to die. Because it's one thing to say you will die and preach about it. But when they point a double barrier at you, I'm devoted to you. So are you a Christian? We'll kill you now. So I'm a Nigerian. Jesus, in that moment when he began to pray and sweat blood, realized this matter is serious. Peradventure, you thought it was a dream you had. Now everything is showing you that you are going to die. Jesus, how will God experience death? How will God experience death? Because he was not experiencing death as God. He was experiencing death as man. How does he feel to die? He doesn't know. But when he saw that Roman soldier sharpening his spear and his blade, it's sharp. And they say, so you are going to that side. Say, where those soldiers say, that's where you are going. I'm devoted. Your devotion becomes tested. Come. So you are carrying this cross. Do you think that when Jesus bore that cross, he was thinking about those people crying beside him? My brother, you go die, yo. When Jesus got to that cross, they actually pierced. Jesus watched himself get pierced. The King of Kings, who could not be killed, wept. He wasn't smiling and saying, I'm Jesus. He wept. He was in severe pain. Listen, if he asks for your devotion, it's because he has earned the right to ask for it. That pain he went through is the reason why I can say to you, my daughter, you are forgiven. That's the reason. It's not cheap. Your forgiveness is not cheap. You may be going to church and yet not be a child of God. You may even be a pastor's kid and not even be a child of God. Just the way your father met Jesus, you too will need your own encounter. And even on that cross, they tempted him. Are you not a man of God? Come down. They managed to save us. Do you know what it means? Like when, as a pastor, you pray for people who are crippled and they rise up. You pray for people and yet you are faced with similar situation and somebody dies under your roof. And people are asking, what happened? What happened? Do you know how many men of God this year lost their children? And they still stood and said, glory be to God. Oh, my brother, you don't know anything about it. They said he will not rise.
Even in that painful moment, Pastor David, when it seemed as if he was tested to his bone and he knew he was going to die, he remembered to commit his spirit to the right source. He remembered, because the spirit realm is an open channel. Say, Father, into your hands I commit. And he died. But that was the joker. Because Satan knew that if he was going to be the one to take the sins of the world, so Satan will release mankind and keep him. Does it make sense? You are the one paying, Abby. But are you? Come. Every other person, go. But there was a joker somewhere. The scripture says towards the book of Romans chapter 1 that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God according to the spirit of holiness by which God raised him from the dead. Which means that when Jesus went into the grave, he didn't go with his power. Jesus could not cast devils there. Jesus could not bind any devils there. But he went in with the love he took in his heart when he was dying. He went with that love for you, my brother, that love for you, my sister, that love for you, my brother, that because of you, Brother Quincy, because of you, Brother Ayo, my sister, I'm going to go through this. When he went in there, he didn't go with any power. But the scripture would later tell us in the book of 1 Corinthians that there is something that is greater than all the gift of the Spirit. And that thing is love. So he was declared to be the Son of God according to the spirit of holiness, because love purifies. Love covers the multitude of sins. So when he got there, he didn't have any power, but he had holiness. And then, because he had holiness and had love, what is a holy man doing in hell? The scripture says, "We shall declare his day." So he declared, he went into the grave with love and his holiness and disarmed sin, disarmed Satan. He didn't need power to do it. He needed holiness. And when he opened the doors, the scripture says that in the city of Jerusalem, in Israel, people saw the corpses of ancient prophets. People who have died before. They saw Elijah. They saw David walking on the street. Say, "Hi, I'm David." "Which David?" "King David." "What? You, I'm Isaiah. You, I'm Jeremiah." "What?" Jesus didn't come back alone. He came with everyone who testified about him. That is how I know you will not stay in the grave. I said, "That is how I know you will not stay in the grave." I said, "That is how I know you will not stay in the grave." So, "For thou shalt not suffer my soul to what? To rot in hell. Neither shall thou suffer thy only one to see corruption. For in your presence is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the matter of your victory, whether as a family or as individuals, cannot be negotiated. Because Jesus has taken care of it. But you need to believe this. Don't believe Santa Claus. That money you are going to give, Santa Claus collects bribe. Because you will still give him money to give you something. Jesus says, "Come with your faith." Hallelujah. Jesus is not Santa Claus. It is Merry Christmas, not Xmas. Everything they are doing is to take away Christ from our consciousness, but the devil is a liar.
Our God is champion. He reigns
forevermore.
La
Rabasila de Yana Sakabali Asala.
Forevermore.
Now listen. That river that flowed here with me is no more here. It's in the congregation. Therefore, whether it is sickness or whether it is a curse, nothing that is a curse can survive the river of God. So I want you to release your faith, because the river of God is flowing in your direction, and you will be free. Rise on your feet in 5 minutes. Come on. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah.